We have been talking a lot about class this week, and today we're going to explore the idea of upward mobility, or the idea that if you work hard enough, you can climb the class ladder. It's part of the American dream, right? Pulling yourself up by your bootstraps to make a better life. It's also the idea that your children and your grandchildren will have a better life than you do. But the fact is, upward mobility in the U.S. is not that easy, and it doesn't happen as much as many Americans believe. Stephen Heiter is a professor of economics at Michigan State University. Stephen, why do Americans believe this idea of upward mobility? Where did this idea come from?
Well, I'm an economist, not a historian, but I think the idea is well known of American exceptionalism. It goes back to our roots where we believe that we are a special country where people could really work to get ahead. We do believe we are very much more mobile than other developed countries. That's well documented in surveys. It turns out, if you compare the U.S. to other countries, though, we are very much run-of-the-mill, perhaps even less mobile than some countries. That might surprise you.
So compared to other countries, where does the U.S. stand in terms of ease of upward mobility?
I'll first distinguish between two types of mobility that I think is pretty important to keep in mind. One type of mobility, the buzzword we use is intergenerational mobility. That has to do with how we compare to our parents. If my father is either very high in the income distribution or low in the income distribution, where do I end up? The other type of mobility is intragenerational. If I start out in a middling job, do I tend to remain in a middling job? Or if I work hard, might I be able to move up, or might I instead move down? Although those are two different, important to distinguish between those two types of concepts, if you compare us to other developed countries, we're very much middle of the road along both dimensions.
That, I think, would surprise some people.
Yes. In fact, when you ask people in the U.S., how mobile are you? Do you think you're more mobile than people in Europe? We always say that, yes, we are more mobile. That doesn't necessarily mean that we're wrong and they're right, but we do know that they don't think they're very mobile. We think we are. We're about the same. Somebody is wrong. It's more a matter of that there is this disconnect from what we believe versus what actually exists.
So have people always thought this way?
It turns out, yeah, it is. It has been around for a long time. But the data that I'm most familiar with now, where we think we are very much more mobile, goes back 100, 200 years, but it's certainly still true today.
What about comparing the percentage or the likelihood of upward mobility now in the U.S. to maybe 20 years ago in the U.S.?
It turns out that we've remained fairly constant over the last 20 or 30 years. Several recent papers have been written on the topic, and it looks like over the last 20 or 30 years, things are relatively constant. Now, keep in mind that the income distribution in the U.S. itself has changed a lot. So it's pretty well established that workers at the lower part of the income distribution have not made much progress over the last 30 years.
If someone actually does change class, how do they do it?
I don't think that's a big secret at all. I think it's education, education, education. Yes, we can always look and find there are athletes who end up not obtaining a long formal education, or you might find an entertainer, or you might even find somebody like Bill Gates or Steve Jobs, but that's really the exception. When you talk about people with upward mobility or downward mobility, how do you secure your place in the earnings distribution? It really comes back to, can you obtain an education and establish a career for yourself?
Thank you very much for talking with me today.
You're welcome.